Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Mike, being joined once again by our good friend Toru Masamune. Toru, welcome back to the show. You got a break last time. Jeff was on. Now you're on.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. See? So, you know, it was good. It was good to you know, you got to spread out the love, right?
We actually had to get an actual Power Ranger on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but at the same time, while Jeff and I are recording, you're being the king of musicals at the same time too.
I am. I'm a song and dance man now. So, you know, you know, we could talk a little about being a supervillain, but you know what? I'd rather talk about hitting those high notes. But anyway, yeah. I just did a first ever after all these decades of acting. I didn't go to conservatory. I you know, so consequently I got away through life, and I was not a theater geek in high school, so I got through life without ever doing a musical. And I love music. I can play a little bit, but I've never sang. And it's actually kind of a generational thing, because my family are all scientists, whatever, blah, and Masamunes just haven't sung. It's like a generational thing, so I've sort of broke the seal, and someone asked me to do a musical, and I got through it, man. I mean, I got through it. So my goal was to escape detection. I knew I wouldn't say, oh, this guy's amazing. He should be the next hot thing on Broadway. And I really loved it. I do love to sing. I just shouldn't be doing
on
it
the stage
in front of a paying
it.
Audience. So I my job was, and I think I succeeded, is they would watch and they would just say, everybody would just, oh yeah, they're all musical theater guys. Those are all the folks we knew in high school that were in the musical, and in college that were, you know, theater majors and blah, blah. You know, where I'm hitting all the notes and I sound good. And no one would notice that. No, this is like, I'm so freaking far out of my comfort zone. It's not even funny. And there are a couple of notes I just wasn't hitting, and I did not hit them till showtime. I'd never done them on stage, and worked with some coaches. Got coached up by one of my opera singer friends, and they gave me all the things, and I hit it. You know, and as I was saying, they're not like, you know, crazy notes, but they're things that, you know, they'd say, oh yeah, that's how that you sound like a singer. And no, like, I don't think anybody thought it was, you know, they thought it was just a normal, another day at work for me. So anyway, I think I succeeded. So I'm now a song and dance man. So
well, if you go on tour and you're out here in the DC area, you gotta let me know. Gotta let me know.
I will. But, Lincoln but, Center, man.
but obviously people are not here to listen to us talk about musicals.
Musical theater.
Although one day we might do the More Phenomenal Hockey Show, the musical, just as a joke.
Absolutely. Well, I told you, I was thinking you and I should write the Slapshot the Musical.
Slapshot the Musical.
I think we might. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
It's out there.
Just saying. Anyway.
But yeah, so we're gonna start off with your Oilers, who just won in overtime against the San Jose Sharks. I know you were before we started recording, you were stressing. You were definitely stressing.
Stressing, I would say I'd gone past stress and I'd gone into full depression because, and I thought this is so typical of everything. I'm about to go on and do the podcast with Mike, and the Oilers are going to freaking lose to the Sharks. And I, you know, there's sort of the assumption that, that they were just going to tie it up. I mean, it was very similar to the Boston game. You could argue it's identical, right? Almost, right? I just know that
Possibly.
Boston went up 2-0. But anyway, close enough. So, they're just going to come back. And Boston was, that was a little scary because, man, those guys are great, on defense. I mean, they were just choking off the Oilers.
Well, first off, Boston does not have a great defense. What it is that they were kind of put into a position where it's like, we're going to try to take our strengths as a team to hide our weaknesses, because keep in mind, Boston recently fired Jim Montgomery, made Joe Sacco the interim head coach. Jim Montgomery then went over to St. Louis, is now their head coach, which I feel bad for Drew Bannister, because Bannister, came in mid-season last season as an interim. Then this was supposed to be his first full season as a head coach, and then he's gone. It's like, man, that kind of stinks for him a little bit, but so
No,
yeah,
I
it.
agree with you. No, I agree with you. They've had problems and all that. I didn't expect that. But that night, I don't know, they just kept five guys up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they.
They did really well. And I just thought, wow, they're not like, in other words, the difference was they weren't getting chances. So when you say, okay, how do we get a score and they win? Sanchez say was like, oh my God, the whole time was it 36 to 26 to 10? I don't know, whatever the shot total was, but it's ridiculous. And they were missing open nets and everything like that.
Well,
But anyway.
it well especially frustrating because the start the month of December, the Capitals played the Sharks at in you know out here, and we lost 2-1 in overtime.
I remember, I was thinking about
And
that.
I was like, well, first off, it's like this is a game the Capitals should have won, but the Sharks just played a really tight game. But at the same time, the Capitals didn't really take control like they can do. Like in a way, like last night when the Capitals played, who did we play last night? As I'm blank. Oh, Carolina. And ironically, tomorrow we play, or at the time of you listening to this today, where the Caps play the Kings.
That's right. You play the
So
Kings.
I'll be there.
Oh, cool. I'll be thinking of you.
and,
Yeah,
and I'll be thinking of you, even though they're technically not your team.
Then yeah, well they're my
They,
second favorite team, but
yeah.
right now I kind of don't want them to do well for obvious reasons, so
Well, and let's talk about that, because after today's win for the Edmonton Oilers, they're now 20-11-2 with 42 points. They are 1 point back from the Los Angeles Kings, who are in second place of the Pacific Division right now. LA, 33 games played as well, is 19-9-5 with 43 points. And as I pull up my other one, which is the scores,
Kings didn't play today, right?
the Kings actually lost in overtime today to
Oh,
Nashville.
that's that 1 point. That's where that
Yep,
one pick came from.
that's where
Oh,
that 1 point comes in. So the
okay.
Kings lost in overtime. And fun fact, out so far today, because three NHL games and the lone PWHL game, and we'll get to that one in a little bit. So far, four games have been played between PWHL and NHL. Three of the four were went to overtime.
When you say the PWHL,
Nashville beat Los Angeles 3-2 in overtime. The Oilers beat the Sharks 3-2 in overtime.
oh,
The
okay, gotcha. Oh, I see.
Calgary Flames defeated the Chicago Blackhawks 6-4. And in the PWHL, the Montreal Victory defeated the Toronto Scepters 4-3 in overtime.
That all happened today.
That is so far today at the time of this recording.
Unbelievable.
Now, I should note, six games just started as we started recording. So as of right now, Boston is hosting Buffalo. Toronto is hosting the Islanders. Montreal is hosting Detroit in Original Six action, which is always awesome to see. New Jersey is hosting Pittsburgh, Philadelphia is hosting Columbus, and Winnipeg is hosting Minnesota right now as we are recording this episode. And then, of course, later tonight, as we record, or after, we'll probably be done recording at this point, but Vancouver will be hosting Ottawa, and Vegas will be hosting Seattle.
Nice.
But going back here to the standings, and obviously I just mentioned Vegas, they host the Seattle Kraken tonight. They are 21-8-3 with 45 points. Obviously, they're first in the Pacific, and it should be noted that below the Oilers at number four, it is the Calgary Flames at 16-11-7 with 39 points. So granted,
Crazy
they
enough.
are 3 points behind the Oilers. They're still in the mix. And
That's
same with
crazy, though.
Vancouver, who is 16-10-6 with 38 points.
That's wild. And so it's kind of an interesting time. And now I kind of feel like, now's when we really got to take standing seriously. It's getting to that point. It's not.
And that big point when we start really taking the standing seriously is usually right around Thanksgiving. Yeah,
So here we are.
that kind of dictates to you a lot where teams kind of stand at that point right there.
So it's a good it's good to see the Oilers, starting. Well, it's interesting, and I think I agree with it. I know this is Knobloch always says that, there are, and I agree with it, watching the games. They actually have never been playing badly, but I still love the thing very early on. I think we talked about it on an early podcast where Knobloch did a post game interview, and he's just talking about stuff. You know the way he is, he's very thoughtful, and he goes, kept on saying, I think we're playing pretty well, and they actually were. I was watching them, and I said, we just have to, concentrate on, a few things like scoring goals and winning games. I'm like, yeah, that would be a good thing to work on. And now I don't know. He's saying a lot of it's just puck luck. Now the pucks are going in. Now the games are now we're winning the games. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to think that. Well, I guess luck plays into things, I suppose. I don't know. It's very strange, but at least now it's nice to see the puck going in. And I when I watch them, I don't see them making too many mistakes. And even defense, which obviously was the big complaint.
Well, not only that, but the last time we spoke, McDavid was out of the lineup because
Oh,
he
you're
was out
right.
hurt at the time.
It was dark. It was dark back then.
I
Now that you mention it, I said, wow, those were dark days.
know.
But
We were
now
so innocent then.
I know, but now I look and I watch the wins, and they're not like, I hope we win. It's like, let's win this game. And I don't, they're the sometimes get sloppy, and I don't know what the slow starts are about. I really don't know. Part of it, I was thinking they just went through a string of tough opponents, and maybe they had their foot off the gas. I don't know what it is, but even Boston, that was such a slow start, and I don't know what that is, or whether they can even afford to do that any longer. Just give away the first
Yeah.
period.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about stuff like that with the Caps in a little bit, but focusing on the Oilers, like right now, looking at the team stats, Leon Draisaitl leads the team with 23 goals, 27 assists for 50 points. McDavid is right there with 15 goals, 30 assists, which actually leads the team with assists and 45 points. Last time we spoke, Zach Hyman was not doing very well at the
That's right.
time.
That's right.
And
That's
now
right.
he's fifth on the team in scoring. He has 11 goals now, 6 assists for 17 points, and is now a plus 7. So Zach Hyman is somebody who's really turned things around, especially co since coming back from injury
Since the
himself.
injury, and I think he scored every game since the
Yeah,
injury. Is that?
he's been scoring. I mean, all I know is he's been doing great in fantasy for me. So,
Yeah, but I think he scored every. I mean, he scored a couple when on coming back. Maybe in the first two games he came back, and he's been scoring. I think he scored every game since he came back, which is.
Yeah, well, let's actually take a look. I'm pulling up Zach Hyman's stats right now, and
Oh, they're picking nose.
the game logs. So it doesn't have today's game but I do know he scored a goal in today's game.
Yeah.
So dating to December 5th, which is when he returned from injury, which was against Columbus. He
Yeah.
had two goals in the game in his return. Then a goal against St. Louis, was held pointless against Tampa, had a
Oh, he
goal
was.
against Minnesota, had a goal against Vegas, had two goals against Florida, had a goal and an assist against Boston on the 19th. And then as I pull up fantasy hockey, because that's how I do things here,
Right.
if the thing wants to load for me. There we go. And it says here Zach Hyman had a goal in today's game as well. So yeah, he's pretty much scored at least a goal per game
Per
since
game,
returning
yeah.
from injury on December 5th.
So per game, yeah. I guess
Yeah,
Tampa is like.
so he's had a very good December, where his
Ugh.
October he had a goal and an assist, so 2 points in the month of October.
Right.
And then for the month of November, which he played from November 3rd to November 19th, he had a goal and assist to start the month, a goal, so one, two. He had two goals and four assists before his injury in November.
Amazing.
So,
And now
Zach
he's got
Hyman is
that.
definitely a player who has turned it around,
And now
which
he's
is
got that nose thing too, which is pretty funny.
which he's in the bubble. He's
Yeah.
wearing the bubble, and it's actually kind of hilarious because we have that with Tom Wilson right now. But
That's
again,
right. That's right.
we'll talk about the Caps a little
Yeah, we'll
later.
talk about the Caps, yeah.
Yeah, and here's a funny thing. I shared this podcast in a bunch of Facebook groups, and one of them is like a Capitals one, and they decline this podcast post every time, and I'm like, well, I'm talking about the Capitals. But apparently they don't like the fact that I save the Capitals for later in the show. And
I see.
I start with like the Oilers or the last episode with the Maple Leafs with Jeff. And I'm
Yeah.
like, come on now. It's like
That's funny.
it's not just about the Caps. This is a hockey podcast,
It is,
At
and
least I
that.
make sure we talk about the Caps. I
Well,
mean,
you know what's kind of interesting now too is now I feel like it is becoming about the NHL, not the individual teams, because the teams kind of have. They're on their way, and it'd be fun talking about the Caps because I'm really been I've watched a few of those games too. So, but I'm sort of feeling like now everything's coming to play. We're kind of okay. We have to worry about what are other teams doing, and because really, I mean, I don't think we're hard on thinking about the Stanley Cup, but it's we're everybody's starting to think playoffs now. So I mean, this is we're starting to funnel towards that. And that. That's everybody,
And
so
I think people forget that because people are like, oh, well, you're a Caps fan. You should only care about what the Capitals do. It's like, no, I'm a hockey fan first,
yeah.
because if I don't know what the rest of the league is doing, that's going to affect how I'm feeling about my team, which comes
Absolutely.
second. So it's like,
Absolutely.
if the Caps are doing great, that's awesome, but how are the rest of the teams in my division doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the
Absolutely.
teams in the rest of the conference are doing? So it's like those things, it's like you got to be paying attention. You just can't be like going, who cares,
Like
just
who
because you
what
don't
did...
because just because you don't like the other team. It's like, yeah, I get it, it's not your team, but you should be paying attention, you should be caring, because what they could be doing could be affecting your team.
Yeah, this is I had a little moment though because it was fun and I guess it's we'll get to the Caps but and I did by the way there's some reason why. Oh yeah, it was the Tampa game. I don't know why. I was going. I went. I'm basically I go onto my ESPN Plus or whatever. They always have the game there, and sometimes I can't watch it live because whatever life. And
Or
I go,
blackout restrictions.
and I'm thinking, well, I don't think there's any blackout. I think sometimes they just don't bother playing something. And I'm going, what? And they said, well, let's put it in your my stuff category. No, I just want to watch the game. Anyway, long story short, and I'm going, I wait for 3 hours after the game's over saying, okay, now, and I know there's no restriction. It was not on ESPN. It was not, there's no, They just decided, I know this guy's an Oilers fan, so we're not going to show him the Tampa game. Anyway, so I watched it, but that was the night of the Stars game with the, so I watched Stars Caps that night.
Right.
Yeah, and
I missed like half that game because I was playing hockey.
Oh, really? Okay,
Yeah.
okay.
So Mondays are always tough for me
I mean, that was
because
in
I play
Dallas
hockey.
anyway,
So
right? That was in Dallas anyway, right?
yeah. The
Yeah.
Caps
So.
did a the Caps started this week with a back to back in Dallas and Chicago, and then they played last night in at home against Carolina. And now they play tomorrow against Los Angeles at home.
And I had a fun and I remember later, because beginning of the year, I think you just focus on your team beginning of the year. I think because you want to, I think that's normal. And then you start noticing it. And of course, because of you, I do check in,
Ovechkin.
Ovechkin, can't speak today.
Ovech. Here, wait,
We'll
wait.
get.
Everyone, we are going to work with Tora
All
real
right, let's
quick.
work on it. Please, please.
O, O,
O,
Vetch.
Beck, Vetch.
Vetch. Vetch.
Like fetch,
Like fetch,
Ovechkin.
like vetch. Kin.
Ovechkin. All right, thank you.
Ovechkin. There we go. I
So
know,
if you
you're
get
used to
nothing.
me just saying Ovi all the time.
Yeah, I know, right? But there are reasons to check in, and it'll be fun talking about that later. But one thing I did notice is fun. So I just ch so I had beginning of the year is more like, oh, let me check in on the Caps and see how they're doing. And it was so cool to see them up on the top there, right?
Yeah.
And I kept on thinking, oh, that's cool, because just based on all the chatter there was at the preseason, it sounded like, oh, it's going to be about Ovechkin
And the gold chase of
goal
Gretzky.
child, and the thing. And that will take the distraction off the rebuilding of the team. I'm going, well, they're at the freaking top of the league,
Yeah.
their division. And I got really excited tonight. And then, as we discussed, remember, we were kind of hoping by the time we meet again, Oilers will finally be playing their game and Ovechkin will be back in the ice. So not almost close,
We're
close,
almost
close,
there. Well, but we
almost.
do have an update on that one.
Yeah, okay, I'm
On
looking
that
forward to
second,
that.
we do have an
So
update on
anyway,
that second one.
but I had this moment. I think great, and I thought how great it is that both our teams are doing well. But then I had this really funny moment of, wow, potential Stanley Cup. I mean, I was thinking, wouldn't that be wild if just for this podcast, if there was like, is that that's doable, right? Caps, Oilers, Stanley Cup. That's doable,
Hey,
right?
let's do it, and then you and I will just make some stupid wager about like something that we
Yeah,
can't, neither of us can deliver on, and
and I'm thinking, oh, that would be funny, but that's
I'm not thinking about that right now.
too far. Is that too
Yeah, it's
much?
too
It
far.
is a little. It was a thought. I agree, that's too much. But
Yeah,
there's a little thought. I thought I sort of chuckled.
it's one thing where it's like a joke. Yeah, let's joke about it, but it's another
Yeah.
thing
No, no,
when
no, no. Meaning a joke, not within them, within the context of us.
Oh yeah.
Because if we did that, we would hate each other on a few, right? Don't you think?
Oh,
I mean,
especially the
come on.
fact that the Caps and the Oilers play each other next month.
Yeah. I mean, but don't you think that if they got to that such a playoff situation, we'd come on after
I don't
certain
think
games?
we I don't think we would hate each other, but we would definitely be trash talking each other.
Yeah. But I mean, it's funny. Sometimes I don't know. I just kind of find it hard to keep my sense of humor during playoffs sometimes. I don't know about you. I
Yeah.
just can't.
You'll find out what I'm like during the playoffs because I'm
All
just kind
right,
of
all right.
like,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. But
But real
anyway,
quick, let's do a little quick little wrap up on the Oilers to wrap up the month of December and
Yes.
the calendar year of 2024. The Oilers play the Ottawa Senators on October 22nd, and then they go into their holiday break. And then when they come back on the 28th, they travel to Los Angeles to play the Kings.
Yes.
And then the next day on the Sunday, the 29th, visit the Anaheim Ducks. And then on December 31st, New Year's Eve, they host the Utah Hockey Club. And then just to look at the rest of that week, they host the Anaheim Ducks on January 3rd. And then they visit the Seattle Kraken on Saturday, January 4th, which actually is the beginning of a four-game road trip that also sees visits in Boston, Pittsburgh, and Chicago.
Nice.
So I'm actually going to pause it there on. No, actually, you know what? Let me go one more week. I'm going to go one more week on purpose on this one.
There you go.
And then starting on the 13th, they host the Los Angeles Kings and then go on a three-game road trip that takes them to Minnesota, Colorado, and Vancouver. And I'm pausing it there on purpose
Okay.
because The next team that they play on the schedule gives us time to joke around.
Yes.
But that is what the Oilers schedule looks like essentially for the next like month. From like now until January 18th. So with that,
Oh,
we're
and just really
actually
quickly, you might maybe a live during the game emergency podcast might be something to
Yeah,
think about.
we could, we could. I mean, it's possible.
Something to think about, like maybe third period, third
But with
period.
that,
Yeah.
we're actually going to go on a break. Or correction, Toro is going to go on a little bit of a break.
Yes.
And when we come back, I will be joined by the head coach of the Minnesota Frost and former Washington Capitals defenseman, Ken Klee. And we are back from the break here on the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. Toro's taking a little break, and I'm being joined now by the head coach of the Minnesota Frost and former Washington Capitol player, Ken Klee. Ken, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So I want to jump back a little bit because we are, at the time of this recording, 3 games into the season. Do like a little bit of a preview. You won the championship last season, the Walter Cup with PWHL Minnesota. What was it like to win the championship last season and then go into the off season, make some of the changes that you did preparing for this season?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was great. I mean, it's so hard to win in pro sports, and with just six teams and with the talent being so even, it could have been any one of the six. I think going into it could have won. I just think our team really stepped up. I mean, we figured out ways to win games. We played tight games, overtime games. We just did the little things really well, and I think that's why the ladies had success, and it was certainly a heck of a run.
And it should be noted that when you came back from the World Championship break, you went on a 5-game losing streak going into the playoffs, and there was a doubt of whether or not you're going to make the playoffs. So, what was it like having that in your mind when you went into the playoffs a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be what I would recommend, like going into playoffs on a losing streak. But it was just one of those things. We lost a couple of tight games. We got tied with like I think 1 second left on the clock in one game. Another game, we had the lead 3 times. We figured out a way to lose. It was tough. I think a lot of it was, some of our players. Obviously, we had predominantly Team USA players, and losing that gold medal game in overtime. It's a long 3 weeks for those players. So when they put everything, all their heart and soul into it, all the stress of it, the tournament in 3 weeks, and then to come up short, I definitely think, we went right on a road trip as soon as that was done. So basically they never got to go home and kind of recharge and reset. We were just right into road games right away. So it was difficult, but again, that kind of I think that adversity, once we did get into playoffs and got kind of that good feeling, I think it overall helped us just that we knew that, we could play with anybody. We could figure out ways to win games. We could do the little things well. And obviously that's, our goaltending was outstanding. We ended up using both goaltenders. They each won 1 round each, and, just top to bottom. I thought our group just really bonded together and played great.
Now, going into that off season, there were some changes. You got a new general manager. You did a little bit of change with some of the personnel on the roster. How would you like to or would you like to explain how some of that came about, especially with a general manager change, and like what maybe some of the philosophy became for the Frost going from winning the championship going into this upcoming se or this season now?
Well, I think it was just we knew we needed to continue to get better. We knew, the first year of the league, all the teams were super close, but we knew with the drafted players coming in, the league was only going to get better. And I think we did that. I think we improved. We added, I think every one of our draft picks, I think, ended up making the roster, which is pretty amazing. It's not a knock on the players that were here, but that's just the way pro sports work. If you're not trying to get better, you're gonna have a hard time. I think every team that's been able to win a championship, if they don't have that mindset of we need to be even better next year, it's gonna be tough for them. So I think that was kind of our philosophy this summer was, okay, we got to figure out ways to get better. And it started with the draft. And then obviously we went on to training camp, and now we're into the season. And again, just because we, you know, we've played well so far, we know it's a long season and we need to continue to improve. And that's kind of what we're working on now.
And with that said, you've played three games so far this season. You're 2 wins, 0 losses, 1 overtime loss. So you lead the league right now with 7 standing points. But it's really close right now because you do have the New York Sirens and the Montreal Victory 2 points behind, Ottawa Charge 3 points behind, which when you come back from this little break, you actually are going to be taking on the Ottawa Charge on December 19th. So with you taking this week-long break, or in a way almost like a week and a half-long break, what are you thinking going into as you prepare for the Ottawa Charge, knowing that they're starting to kind of get their game going a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the break is mandatory for everybody because it's an international break. So, but we're getting some great practice. I mean, we're getting 4 days of practice this week, and then we'll have another, you know, give the team the weekend off to kind of recharge their batteries a little bit. And basically we're trying to break the season down into segments. I mean, our first segment was those first three games, and now our next segment will be two games. And then again, we have a Christmas break, and then we have a pretty good stretch where I think we have 9 games in January. So it's going to be a lot of hockey. So we definitely want to, you know, just trying to get points every night that we can. We know, like I said, it's very difficult to win in our league, and you got to get points, you know, every night that you can, because you know you're going to have an off night here and there, but you're just trying to rack up as many as you can. And obviously last year, us winning games early, you know, helped get us into the playoffs, because obviously we did have a little stumble near the end, and luckily we had enough points where even the teams chasing us, just we managed to still get in, and obviously it worked out well.
Yeah, and then as you mentioned, you're going to go into a Christmas break. You do play one other game, which is Sunday, December 22nd, against the New York Sirens, who you lost to in your home opener in overtime 4-3. So a little added motivation right there, probably for the team going, hey, we're going into their barn now. Let's take the W from them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I loved our, you know, to be honest with you, I liked the way we played our first game. It might have been, you know, we played really well. I mean, our chances, our end zone time, everything, they just capitalized on the chances they had. And, you know, we got to kind of tip our hat to them that, you know, Filier and Alex Carpenter is a world-class player. And those two made two or three amazing plays, and that ended up winning them the game. So, but we still got a point out of it, which was good. I mean, we were trailing in the third period and tied it up. And then obviously in overtime, Alex made a heck of a shot, but yeah, I mean, like I said, it's us about, you know, people are trying to ask me if we have like big rivalries. I think every game's rivalry because there's only six teams. So, and all these players know each other. They've played against each other, with each other. When you look at the top 120 players in the world, it's a pretty small group. And then when you know, that's basically what our league is made up of. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be tough, but we know it. And we're just preparing for every game. Like we're out there trying to collect points and do our thing.
And when you come back from the Christmas break, you actually do have a 4-game homestand. You know, when you see that, how critical is that? And then I also want to touch on, how has it been working with the Minnesota Wild, who obviously you share that arena with?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's exciting. I think for us to get a chance in front of our home fans is great. We draw excellent at the XL Energy Center, and our fans here in Minnesota, they really support the team. You know, the turnout's been great. I mean, last year we were over 10,000, I think, multiple times. You know, we had, I think, 8,500 for our opener, which, you know, it's a Vikings game day. The Wild had already played Friday, Saturday, and this is Sunday. So it's a lot of hockey, but it's good. And as far as the Wild, I mean, they're great. They're obviously we're blessed to be able to play in the same arena that they play in, and they treat us really well there. So it's a really nice setup for us. We share a practice facility with them. We share a game facility with them, and we're certainly pleased and also thankful that they're willing to, you know, kind of share their space with us. And all the arena people are fantastic. You know, the guys that help manage the ice at both places are fantastic. So it really works out well.
Yeah, and I have to say, I've been to XL Energy Center. Unfortunately, last season, I was not able to get to a game because when I made my convention appearance, it was before the season had even started. But my friend John, who does live out there, him and his wife are season ticket holders to the Frost, and they always tell me how much fun they have at the games. So want to...
Great.
I do get some feedback from some people out there in Minnesota. And, you know, we talked about the hockey, we talked about, you know, the team so far. One thing we haven't touched on is obviously last season you're PWHL Minnesota. Now you're the Minnesota Frost. How do you think that rebranding, I guess you can say, is coming across to the fans in Minnesota?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I mean, I'm really happy to be the Frost. I think PWHL Minnesota is a mouthful for me to say for sure, and I know for a lot of people. So, but yeah, just now that we're the Frost, and all the lo branding and the logos are out there. I see little kids walking around with Frost sweatshirts and hats and that sort of thing, which is great to see. So, we're really excited. I think it's great for all the teams, to be honest with you, that they do have a name and a logo now. I just think that really helps show everybody that it is a professional league and that they want to get behind their team, and it's really exciting.
So I gotta ask this. Obviously I'm partial to purple. It's my favorite color. But if you couldn't pick the Frost, which team do you think has probably the best name, look type of thing for when it came to the rebrands?
I don't know. I mean, I think they all look pretty cool, and they're all obviously different colors. I don't know. I kind of like the Charges logo, to be honest with you, because I think it kind of resembles the Sens a little bit, with the C kind of looking like the O, and I think it's just it's a pretty neat looking logo on their thing. We haven't seen it yet live, so, but I've just seen pictures, but I thought it looked pretty sharp. So, but like I said, now all the teams' jerseys are looking good, and it's, like I said, it's certainly good for them to be able to have their own logo, their own team name. We're still under one league, but still, to have your own is pretty special.
And I have to admit, seeing what the goalies have done with the branding now, with their goalie pads, their masks, like they've really, like the NHL, it feels like everyone just kind of follows the same formula, but the women in the PWHL have like taken it like three levels higher with what they've done with their goalie gear.
Yeah, goalies love
So
the gear, that's for sure.
I mean, some of the looks are really nice. I like what the Scepters goalies have done with theirs and the Sirens
Yeah.
goalies have done with theirs, like especially like you have to do like city lines and
Sure.
skylines and stuff like that. And then actually I think I could say this now because it's been announced, but when we met at the Capitals home opener, you had mentioned the PWHL takeover tour
Yeah,
about three
no, it's pretty
towns.
exciting.
I obviously didn't say anything to anybody because it's like,
Sure.
okay, it's under wraps. Why don't you talk about that a little bit and tell, how did it come about or how did you get involved? And then, what are your thoughts on some of the towns that you're going to be going to with the Frost?
Yeah, well, I think it's exciting. I think I think girls and women's hockey across the country is really on the uptick, and it's exciting to watch. Fans love it. I'm really super excited that we get to play a game in Denver, which is my hometown. So, and I've had a ton of people reach out there that are super excited that we're coming. They're going to get to watch a PWHL real game and see how great the players are, how exciting the game is. I think it's good. I think it's exciting to be able to kind of get out there. I remember we used to do neutral site games like in the NHL and for cities that didn't have teams in that. And I think it really just, I think the league has already, they've already kind of said that they're looking at expanding. And so I think it's exciting to go to, I know last year they had big crowds in Detroit and a game in Pittsburgh, but now to do, I think we each have three, so there might be 16 total throughout the league, but,
Yeah, so right here you have Ball Arena on January 12th where Minnesota is hosting Montreal.
Yeah.
Then you have March 7th at the Lenovo Center in Raleigh, North Carolina, where you're
Right.
hosting the Charge. And then you will be in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena on March 16th, where you're the road team against New York.
Sure. Yeah.
So
So, I
those are
mean,
your
for
three.
us, it's three pretty great cities. I know some of the, I think Seattle has a game. I think Vancouver has a game, Edmonton. So, Ottawa, they already played, I think, in I forget what it's called now. It might be Scotiabank, where the Sens play. And so, yeah, it's just pretty cool to be able to get in some different towns. And I just think really, show those people, how great the product is, live, and how exciting it is. And just to, kind of fill the arena. It's really a neat thing.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at March 7th. Obviously, I'm based here in Maryland, and the Lenovo Center in Raleigh, North Carolina is about maybe a 3 4 hour drive from where I live. So I'm gonna see what I can do about going to that one in
Awesome.
March. So, but Ken, this was great having you here. I bet you Turo right now, he's got questions for me going like, okay, I need to know more about the PWHL. So I want to thank you for your time here. And
Absolutely.
anything you want to say to everyone before I let you go?
No, I just appreciate everyone's support. I think the ladies have a great product. It's a great game. It's an honor for me to be a part of, and I'm certainly excited to see everyone there to be able to watch them.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back from the break. And we are back from the break. Once again, we want to thank the head coach of the Minnesota Frost, Ken Cleave, for joining the show. Toru,
Yeah.
what do you think about that interview? And
Man.
I know for you, you're not as aware of the PWHL because, one, you don't have a team out there in California.
Right.
What were your thoughts on the interview? And honestly, what questions do you got?
Oh, I get tons. I mean, no, it's very cool. Yeah, geez, where I start. Very cool interview, by the way. And that was really funny. You know, one thing that really struck me was that, the whole original six concept. You know what I mean? I thought, wow, this is like the original six teams, right? So that was kind of neat. And it just I just started realizing when you have these smaller leagues or these young leagues, it's a different thing because these, as he's saying that those are the 120 best players in the world, and they all know each other, and I'm thinking that's got to be a whole different vibe, in terms of what it means, or maybe what's at stake emotionally and everything like that. So anyway, I thought it was great, but it's so I know you guys were referring to the team names. Now, what are the teams again? PWHL. And again, forgive my ignorance. I feel very ignorant asking some of these questions,
So,
but the original six teams right now are.
Minnesota Frost, New York Sirens, Montreal Victory, Boston Fleet, Ottawa Charge, Toronto Scepters.
That's pretty amazing. And so there are a lot of them.
And
Yes, they kind of.
Ken and I talked about this in the interview last season. They were just PWHL Minnesota, PWHL New York. They didn't have team
Oh,
names until
really?
this season. Yeah,
And
so
that was the
this
first
season's the
season
first.
last season.
Yeah,
That was.
so the, yeah, so that's this season's the first season with all these actual names for the cities.
Like a real league.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so since, and as now they're. It looks like they're talking about developing their fan base.
Because they have brands now, so it's
Yeah,
like.
and so now they got jerseys. I mean, I'm very psyched to check all this stuff out. Very intrigued. What were you referring to with the goalie gear? Because I want to know what is next level goalie gear. What's that all
Oh
about?
man, so I'll have to send you pictures, but like what the ladies are doing, man. I know the goalies for the Toronto Sirens, they have like almost like the city skyline of New York City on their leg pads, and like the way they have it on their gloves as well. And yeah, so it's like it's just like the overall designs and optics of like what they've done for their pads to kind of pay homage to the cities that they're in. Like for the Toronto Scepters, like the goalie, one of the goalies has like the scepter literally running up the side of their leg pads.
It's true though, like NHL, it's I mean they're cool stuff, but it's usually just an extension of their jersey or something, usually, right?
Yeah, and not only that, but like when you see a lot of the goalies in the NHL, like you'll see like 10 goalies wearing the same style leg pads, but just the colors being in their
The
team
colors are
colors.
different and
Yeah. Whereas like if you like one goalie who really does stand out, honestly, is like Charlie Lindgren of the Capitals, because he has a leg pad setup that you don't see around the rest of the NHL. So like it's little things like that. Like sometimes we may only see like some really nice looking pads when it comes to like alternate jerseys or
Alternate jersey.
the outdoor games and stuff like that. So
When you think about what great real estate, right? For having the
art,
best mats. Yeah, I mean that's just like begging for it. So that's.
I mean it's also like when you look at goalie pads, back in like say the 90s and the 2000s, like you instantly think of like Olaf Kolzig when he had like the pads and it had the star in the middle and everything. It's like you don't see that stuff much anymore.
Yeah,
with
that's
the
so cool.
NHL,
I
but the women do it. And like I remember with the NWHL slash PHF, Amanda Levier,
yeah.
when she was with with the Minnesota Whitecaps, like she had like fish on her leg pads, and like I think she even had a set that had like loonies, like the ducks or something
Nice.
like that on them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, those are so cool. Those are amazing pads. And you know, so that's what I was referring to when I was talking about that, because like,
I can't wait to check it out. So,
I'll send you a bunch of pictures
yeah.
and stuff like that. But while we're talking about PWHL, there was a game, we had mentioned it earlier. The Montreal Victory defeated the Toronto Scepters 4-3 in overtime. So with that, the standings stand. Right now, Ottawa and Toronto have both played 5 games. Everyone else has played 4 thus far. Right now, Minnesota is sitting atop the league with 10 points. They're 3-0-1 currently. And obviously, when I interviewed Ken, there was a game that they were getting ready to play, and I just accidentally deleted the thing I needed real quick. As I pull it back up real quick, which was Thursday, December 19th. Obviously, my interview with Ken was recorded on December 11th. So Minnesota dominated Ottawa 5-2 at home at the XL Energy Center in Minnesota, on December 19th. Minnesota is back in action tomorrow, in New Jersey at the Prudential Center, where they play the New York Sirens.
How many games do they have in a season?
I believe it's 30 games.
30 games,
It's a 30, yeah, it's a 30 game season.
and there's playoffs
Yeah,
for
and then there's playoffs. Yeah.
is there a
One of
playoff
the
cutoff
interesting
for like
things
for each
about the
team? Is
playoffs,
everybody in the playoffs or how does that
no,
work?
it's the top four. So it's top
Oh,
four, and
whoa.
then the number one seed actually decides which team they want to face in the first round, which then dictates the other playoff series.
Is it
Best of three, I
best
believe.
of three, okay.
Best, I think it's everyone. I apologize if I don't remember this fully. It's either best of three for the semis, or it's just best of five all the way through. I think it
Okay.
might be best of five all the way through. Sorry, it's been a while since I've had to think about playoffs.
Oh, I know, right? And that's
But
wild.
yes, so right now, Minnesota is in first place with 10 points at 3-0-1. The New York Sirens are in second place right now with 8 points at 3-0-1. Sorry, I don't do the overtime win thing. I do it as just wins, losses, overtime losses. That's just how I remember it. But I should note to you, Toro,
Yeah.
that a regulation win is 3 points. An
No, really.
overtime win is 2 points, and an overtime loss is 1 point, and a regulation loss is 0 points, which honestly is how it should be in the
Yeah,
NHL.
that makes more sense because otherwise, yeah, that kind of makes more sense.
So
Now, I had a question.
that does explain why they do it the way they post it, where it's like win, overtime loss, loss. So I get
Right.
it, but for me, it's always just wins, losses, overtime losses. That's just
And I
how
had a question.
my works.
And I had a question too. You said, I guess the PWHL Minnesota last year won the championship, correct? Did I hear that correct?
Yes.
So are
They
they
beat Boston.
okay? Now are they just the dominant team? Are they the team to beat right
As
now?
of right now, they are.
Now.
I would say as of right now, they are. Like right now, they're if you look at it from the perspective of regulation, they are undefeated in regulation so far.
Okay.
So obviously on Sunday, December 22nd, when they visit the New York Sirens, that will obviously be a test, because the Sirens are in second place and are literally only 2 points behind Minnesota in the standings. With Montreal's victory today, they now are third with 7 points, and they are 3-0-1, two of those wins being overtime wins. For the actually no correction 3-1-0,
Yeah.
with two of the wins being overtime wins for Montreal. And then in fourth is the Boston Fleet with 6 points. They have 2 wins, two losses, no overtime losses. And then the Ottawa Charger in fifth with 4 points. They're 1-3-1, and the Toronto Scepters are also 1-3-1 with 4 points, as they are both near the bottom of the league right now. But there's still a lot of hockey to play. Both Ottawa and Toronto have 25 games left to play. The other four teams have 26 more games to play. So it's still very early right now, but still very exciting stuff happening.
One thing I love what he's talking about too, just because I sort of think about, just, personal journeys, even, the whole idea where they kind of went to, they were just losing in overtime, but nonetheless, a sort of a string of losses towards the end, which again, they said front load the points. So they were in good shape. But I just thought when he's talking about maybe it's not so bad to go into a little adversity going into the playoffs, which I thought, yeah, it's interesting. There's something to be said for that, in hockey and in life, because I find that it's weird. And no one likes adversity. I personally can do without it, but I got to say, a lot of my success, I kind of feel like in life has been based on that. And I kind of feel like it's interesting that he brought that up. That, and it's not like they were like they became battles, and they were just,
Yeah, they just came out of the break really, flat
And it's
because.
weird, and it is weird because the hockey gods, right? I mean, I don't know, no one knows how that works, so,
And keep in mind, like Toronto was the first place team last year. Like they were above and beyond everyone else last season. And
You're talking about
they,
NHL.
no, PWHL.
PWHL, okay.
PWHL Toronto was like the number one seed, and they selected at the time a struggling Minnesota as their first, as their semifinal opponent.
Okay.
And, and Minnesota got in because Ottawa beat, I think, beat Boston or something like that. Like, I forget what it was. They, like, Ottawa did something to give Minnesota the opportunity to go to the playoffs, and it was literally out of pure luck. And it came back to bite Toronto. No, okay, so it's best of five throughout.
Just survive. Okay.
Toronto won the first two games, and then Minnesota came in and won the next three games to do the reverse sweep on Toronto.
Yeah, it's crazy, the dynamics. There's actually something later in the segment I'll have to talk about, just sort of how, how life imitates hockey, the hockey playoffs. I'll have to talk about that. But it's really interesting how all these bizarre dynamics, and sometimes just being the better team doesn't guarantee anything. It's so bizarre. And yeah, it's a combination of everything, right? But it was really great hearing it. And I've one thing I thought was interesting too, you're talking about the goalies, because obviously, playing beer league, I played with tons of amazing women hockey players. And I actually loved it's great. I don't know why they seem to include me to play a little better. I don't know why they somehow see me a little more than maybe some of my male counterparts don't see me in the ice. But and they do pick out. They see I'm in the right position. You know what I mean? And I don't know if my male counterpart said, yeah, but you know what? He's not gonna get it anyway. He's gonna whiff anyway. But nonetheless, it's interesting. So I just in general, I just think I wouldn't say necessarily a different style of play, but it's always kind of fun. But one thing I realized, I have never known nor played with a female goalie. In my entire life. I'm trying to think. I was trying to think about that, and I actually never ran into that. So I've always wondered about that. It'd be fun to watch women's hockey, just sort of see the, there's always a difference in styles, I guess.
And you know what? Here in the States, you can watch them on YouTube
I will watch them on YouTube, and
because
I got.
PWHL has their own dedicated channel. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch on PWHL.com. Actually, did I say the website right? Just to be on the safe side.
Yes.
The PWHL.com. You can watch on their website there. I
Need
know.
them
I
up
know
right
a
now.
couple. Like when they like before the international break.
Yeah.
They had games on Twitch. I think they're experimenting. I know a
I
lot of
heard
people
that on Twitch. Yeah,
I
I
know a
heard
lot of people complained about it, And I think it had more to do with the fact that the PWHL did not properly communicate that to everybody. But like honestly, when the NWHL was first starting, and even when it was became PHF, they utilized Twitch and they made sure that they communicated that and they put it out there all the time. Like, hey, you can watch us on Twitch, because obviously they have, TSN and CBC for Canada, and they have NESN for Boston, and I believe last season they had something for Minnesota. I don't think they have it just yet. But like for everywhere else, like we can watch on YouTube or we could watch on Twitch, and
I mean,
which is nice.
worst case, I can always just Google PWHL and it's going to take me somewhere, right? Worst case.
Worst case scenario.
I had a question too. Do you know how physical are, I mean, I'd be really intrigued. I'm actually really looking forward to watching some games because, I mean, how does that play into the.
The physicality.
Yeah, just
So
like
it's interesting.
that
So for the
game.
longest time, checking was actually not allowed in women's hockey, like the physicality, hitting and stuff like that. But with the formation of PWHL, they've actually have kind of loosened that up a bit. So there's a bit more of, and like here's the thing, you can like, because I've watched enough women's hockey, they can still get physical and play a physical game and not do like some of the excessive hitting that you would see in like the NHL, like some of the cheap shots that we've seen. And but they've loosened that up a little bit, so you're now starting to see a little bit more of that, because they understand like, hey, board battles, it's a physical thing. And you gotta throw that weight around a little bit in those board battles to, assert positioning or try to strip the puck off somebody, or so I haven't been able to see too much yet, just simply because, when they're playing, I could be at a Caps game, or but I try to watch the highlights as much as possible. But I definitely think they've definitely loosened up a little bit on the physicality, not calling it as a penalty as much now, which is probably for the better of the game too, because I've always heard the especially on the male side, like, oh, well, they don't hit, so it's not real hockey. It's like, no, it's still real hockey. It's just
And it's not like,
a different style of playing the game.
and it's not like it's mixed where you do have a 250-pound guy slamming it, like there's a certain even playing field that, yeah, sure, why don't they take hits on each other? Because it is part of the game, for sure, right? And hopefully fights won't start. Well, I don't know, maybe fights will start breaking in, I don't know, but it's interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to watching it. Maybe next time we talk, I'll hopefully have watched a few
Well,
games.
I'll throw this out there to you. They're doing something called a PWHL Takeover Tour, and Sunday, February 16th, the Toronto Scepters play the Ottawa Charge at Rogers Place in Edmonton as part of
Well, if I
that
can make it to
Takeover
Edmonton, I'm here in LA, but
Tour. Well, I we were just talking about the Oilers.
is
We
there
were
an
talking about
Oilers game around then? I mean, I could turn it into a
a
field
back
trip.
dude. So I'm gonna have to explain this in a little bit, when we do like the Power Ranger Power Play segment. But
No.
you'll be very disappointed in me for how I plan this my upcoming trip. It's still gonna be a great trip, but I'm kind of disappointed too, a little bit on it. But it is what it is, because I misread something incorrectly. But whatever. But yeah, any other questions you may have about the PWHL?
No, I think it was really great to, I mean, and again, there's so much competition for our attention these days, and sometimes I sort of feel like just being a fan of any team is such a commitment to begin with, especially now that we're doing this, which I'm enjoying it now. There's a bigger level where it's okay, well, now it's not okay, let me just turn on the games when it's convenient. It's sort of like, okay, let's actually follow the season. And I kind of feel like, it's been a fun thing. But that being said, maybe this is a healthy little competition for my eyeballs is watching some of this PWHL, because I'm intrigued, man. It sounds like a blast. I
Oh
mean,
yeah,
totally
no,
sounds like a
it
blast.
I've been watching women's, like professional women's hockey since the NWHL started, because when they started, TXHT started. So I automatically, I said, "Hey, you're starting up. I'm starting up. Can I get press credentials?"
There
And
you go.
so I was interviewing the players, and Jenny Scrivens was
Great.
one player that I can always talk about, who is the wife of Ben Scrivens. Sorry for referring to her as the wife of Ben Scrivens, but no, that's a legit thing, because, and I'm glad I kind of did it now because I can explain this to Turo, because, when you see these players who are like Sarah Nurse, she's obviously the sister to Darnell Nurse of the Edmonton Oilers, but to just go out and just say like, "Oh, well, she's just the sister of Darnell," like, no, she is a credible athlete in her own right. Like, in a way, you can look at Sarah Nurse and go, "Oh yeah, Darnell is her brother." You can more downplay Darnell, and like, or when you see Darnell Nurse play, it's like, "Oh yeah, he's the brother of Sarah," because she's just as good
Absolutely.
in her own right, But like, and I brought up Ben Scrivens because obviously he was in the NHL. He played for the Oilers, and he played for Montreal as well. But I remember interviewing her a lot. I interviewed, quite a few people that first year. Second year, it kind of died down a little bit because just, I'm not going to go into all that stuff, but like, obviously communication stuff was always a thing, but yeah, but yeah, it's just like, it was always there. So it's like, it was like that perfect foil for me, because it's like, hey, I can, so I like, you're obviously watching a lot as the and you're watching it grow. That's the other thing. You're watching it grow from something that is literally a kickstart up to, and a P and NWHL slash PHF was around for like 8 years. Like 7, 8 years. And this is obviously the second season for PWHL. So there's always going to be those growing pains and stuff like that. So
Well, that's exciting though, and thanks for turning me on to it. I'm looking forward to checking it out. So,
it's funny because Jeff lives in Toronto, and he didn't even know there was a team until I told him, and I was like, "Well, next time you're on, you better be ready to talk some Toronto Scepters." So we're gonna talk about it. So
I'll have to figure out who my team is. I'm well, I'm born in Wisconsin, so I know Minnesota might be a tough thing. Boston, I don't know. I'll have to figure out who my team is. I'll have to start following him.
I mean, I will say this, my first jersey will probably be Minnesota Frost, just simply because purple is my favorite color.
Oh, nice.
So
Maybe
it's like,
I'll do it based on who has the coolest jersey. That's where I'll start. So,
who has the coolest goalie gear?
who has the coolest goalie pads? That's what I'm going for. That will determine my first favorite team at
Well,
BW.
actually, hilariously, because I will be in Toronto next month, if I see some Scepters gear, I'm probably going to be tempted to buy some Scepters gear. I'm not
Nice.
going to lie.
Okay. Well, I'll report next time. I'll report who I seem to be leaning towards by the next time. So.
Sounds good. So with that, we're now going to once again thank you to Ken Klee, the head coach of the Minnesota Frost, for
Yes.
coming on. I also want to thank Joe, the communications person for the Minnesota Frost, for helping set up, and also the patience of us trying to work the schedule to get the interview with Ken. So worth it, and do anticipate hearing from hopefully other coaches. And I do know I plan on wanting to have Ken back on again, especially as we get deeper into the PWHL season. So with that, we now shift back to the NHL. We're talking
Yes.
Washington Capitals now. Sorry, Washington Capitals Facebook page that likes to decline everything or almost everything I do because the Capitals are later in the thing for whatever stupid reason. Like,
That's
log the
hilarious.
time on this thing. We're finally talking about like an hour into the show, I think.
You can
But
flip it over if you want. I won't be offended if you
no,
want to flip it over. I
I'm
don't
not
yeah.
gonna do that much editing, and then next thing you know, I'm up until 3 in the morning Eastern time editing this podcast. No. So But the
I was talking
Capitals.
about the Capitals during the Oilers segment, so.
Yeah. For those of you on audio, I'm waving my hands going, yeah, whatever. Whereas with for those on YouTube, they see me doing it. But going to the Caps, right now they're at the top of the Metropolitan Division with a 22-8-2 record with 46 points. Obviously, I believe I'm going to pull this up real quick over here. Right now, the New Jersey Devils are playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Devils are in second in the division at 21-11-3 with 45 points. And Carolina, who is off today at the time of recording, they are 20-11-1 with 41 points in third place in the division. And actually, Pittsburgh has woken up a little bit. They've done a, I mean, they're a little over 500, but they are doing slightly better right now as the Penguins are now 15-14-5 with 35 points. And then you have the Rangers, who have fallen mightily to 16-15-1 with 33 points. And then you got the Flyers right there, 32 points at 14-15-4. Columbus at 13-15-5 at 31 points, and then the Islanders in last place in the division where they belong at 12-14-7 with 31 points. But yeah, so the Caps are top of the division. They're actually, I believe, they are second place in the league. They're first place in the conference, and they're second place in the league. They're second place only to the Winnipeg Jets, who have 47 points. So just to throw all of that out there, obviously the Caps have been doing a lot of this without Captain Alex Ovechkin, who has been out with the fractured fibula. Although Toro, I sent you a picture and it was like, I think it was like the first home game after the injury, and I'm standing at, I always stand at the Capitals bench for pregame warmups to shoot video of the team walking out onto the ice, take pictures, and lo and behold, right next to me is Alexander Ovechkin just standing there. No crutches, no cast, no nothing. He's just standing there for like, just taking it in, and then he just walks back into the locker room. So it's like
That's awesome.
so great. But the great news about Ovechkin is that he officially yesterday, Friday, December 20th, was in a contact jersey practice with the team. However, head coach Spencer Carberry said that he will not play before Christmas. So any thoughts of him playing tomorrow against the Kings or Monday against, I believe, Boston, is not happening. However, we are all eyeballing Saturday, December 28th, in Toronto for Hockey Night in Canada as the potential return of Alex Ovechkin to the lineup and resuming the great chase. But hilariously, when I bring that up, Dylan Strome has stepped up, Connor McMichael has stepped up, Alexei Protas has stepped up, Tom Wilson has stepped up, Pierre-Luc Dubois has been getting more points, Jakob Chychrun has stepped up. Dylan Strome leads the team in scoring with 11 goals, 27 assists, and 38 points. Connor McMichael just surpassed Ovechkin in goals last night,
Nice.
scoring his 16th of the season. He's got 12 assists for 28 points. Protas is 12, 15 for 27 points. Ovechkin is fourth on the team in scoring still, with 15 goals, 10 assists, 25 points. And then Tom Wilson, 13 goals, 11 assists, 24 points, which rounds out our top five. And man, Tom Wilson, I mean, dude's in a bubble just like Zach Hyman right now. Takes the puck off the cheek from a Jakob Chychrun shot from the point, has to get tended to, comes back out, and he ends up scoring two goals and wins the game for the Capitals against the Canadiens, man. It's like,
It's just it's inconceivable how tough these guys are. I mean, it's I don't know.
well, it also comes down to the line about Tom Wilson of, we are literally seeing the next captain of the Washington Capitals once Alex Ovechkin retires.
Yeah,
And that
absolutely.
is Tom Wilson.
One thing I did note, watching the Stars game, because for some reason ESPN Plus decided not to show the my Tampa game. But anyway, but it's great because I really thought, you know what, I want to sit down and watch a Caps game, curtain to curtain. Whoops, sorry about that. I just want to watch it curtain to curtain. You know what I'm saying? And so that was really great to actually have that. One thing I got to say, man, Tom Wilson, and this, the numbers may support this. He just seems physically like much larger than everybody else on the ice. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's not, how, what is he, like 6'4", 6'5"? What is he? I mean, he's not, I know he's, but he's not like, he looks like he's like, to me, he looks like he's like 6'8" or something crazy like that. And he just looks, to me, he always strikes me as noticeably larger than everybody else out there. So anyway,
So
that's,
let's see here. He's fifth. I'm trying
he's
to
big too, so it's, I don't know. I just
one,
noticed
two,
that. Just
three,
sort of something
four,
I noticed.
five. So he's fifth. I'm trying to see if they have hits, but I'm not seeing that on here. So let's do it this way. Does it show hits on here? It does not show hits on the NHL website, but he definitely
Okay.
froze the body around.
Yeah, no, it's just great watching him play. I think he's fantastic, and yeah, and that just says a lot, just taking that puck in the face and scoring some goals. I don't know. I love that stuff. I love that
Oh
stuff. I
yeah.
wish I was like that. I'm definitely not.
But then you got to talk about the goaltending for the Caps. Logan Thompson, 16 games played, 12-2 in and 12-2-2. Charlie Lindgren, 16 games played, 10-6-0. Thompson has a 2.48 goals against average and a 0.911 save percentage. Lindgren has a 2.59 goals against average with a 0.905 save percentage. So they are doing very good right now
Oh, no,
with the
they're great.
goaltending.
I mean, yeah,
And
they're great.
last night, here's the thing. You didn't find this out till after the game, but Charlie Lindgren, who has probably the save of the season, won with what that cartwheel catch save that he made. If you haven't seen it, I'll send it to
Oh,
you.
okay. Yeah. Please send me the link. I love this. I love that kind of
It's
stuff.
actually on my on Instagram. It's in my personal one. It's in my stories.
Okay. Just send it to me anyway. I love that kind of
Oh
stuff.
yeah, but he does like the Hasek, Brodeur, Waugh, like the kick the leg up and catches it, and he does the spin on his back and everything, and
Wow, really?
yeah, it was great. It was amazing seeing that live, last night. But here's the thing. We didn't know this until after the game. Lindgren was vomiting during the intermissions because he was battling the flu while playing the game. And like you did when we watched him play, you didn't see a guy who was battling the flu. You saw a guy who was so locked in. Like the only goal he gave up was just like a really good shot that was able to find that little bit of space between him and the post.
It's amazing too when you think about something like the flu versus some joint injury or something like that, or even muscle contusion or something like that. Flu is like brain fog, and that can't be good for a goalie. So I
Oh,
don't,
absolutely.
I mean, that's all reaction. I mean, that's one thing, but we've all had the flu and we know what we're like, I mean, that's, and I don't think that's a good thing a goalie can do. So that's,
But like it like I know Sammy Silber of the Hockey News, she's called it a Jordan-esque game,
really?
Charlie
Okay.
Lindgren, because of like it, everyone remembers the game where Michael Jordan played with the flu and he just dominated the game. Like that was Charlie Lindgren last night.
Well, there's something about that too, is that mentality, and it's, I guess that's why we love sports, is championship mentality, is that learning it, is that there's that whole thing of, Is that what I was saying earlier about the adversity? Is that you just go the other way and you just make that decision to say, at least for the next 60 minutes, I'm going to be locked in. And that's all, and whatever he's, I don't know, maybe he's vomiting again. I don't know. Well, he's obviously vomiting during the intermission, but it doesn't, that doesn't
So
mean that
there was
that's.
a there was a great moment, like the Capitals after a win, they'll show like the Carberry doing this like rah-rah thing, like pumping up the guys after the game, like for like the wins and stuff. And they obviously we've seen the things of like player of the game and stuff like that. And the for the Capitals, it's just like a gold like toy chain or whatever it is that they hand out. And I forget who had it. Who got it the previous game, but he goes, Chucky, I'd probably give it to you, but I don't want to go near you right now, so we're gonna give it to this guy over here.
That's funny.
So,
Well,
and then
good.
like the guy who ended up getting, which was Jacob Vrana, because he scored what would be considered the game winning goal. He goes, Chucky, amazing game. It's like, but
That's
like nobody
hilarious.
really wanted to get, like you just see Charlie just like in the corner in the back of the locker room,
I
just kind of just going like. You know, for
Oh yeah.
those of you who are listening via the audio and not watching on YouTube, I'm like just sitting in my chair in a very specific way where it's like hiding in the corner away from
Oh,
everybody.
I would totally no. I that would be me too. So yeah, that's funny.
So
Yeah,
yeah,
good
that was
stuff, man.
great.
Good stuff. It's
So,
good. You
but
guys having the season's going well. Season's going
I
well.
mean it's going well, but at the same time there's a little bit of frustration going on at the same time because, and I talked about this with Jeff when we recorded on December 6th, which was the December 7th episode that we released, which ironically, we were watching the Caps Leafs game at the same time while recording that episode. But like the game before, the Caps lost in overtime to the Sharks 2-1. And like that was a game that the Capitals should have won.
Oh, absolutely.
You
Absolutely.
know, but then when you go into a game against Toronto, it's like, okay, that's a toss up. That could go Toronto's way, that could go the Caps way. Montreal, that should probably be more of a Caps win. Columbus, probably a little bit more of a Caps win. Buffalo
I've
should.
always wondered though how much of that, again, championship mentality is like underestimating an opponent
Oh
and
yeah.
knowing that.
And
And knowing
but
there are no easy, there are no easy wins in the
Yeah,
NHL.
and but go to the when you watch this the Stars Caps game and then the next night when the Caps were in Chicago, Caps had a 1-0 lead, but that's against the team, in my opinion, Dallas. It can go either way. You know, but when you go up against Chicago, which is obviously in a rebuild, they're building around Connor Bedard,
Oh, absolutely.
that's a game you gotta win.
Yes, you have to
But you
win it.
blew a 2-goal lead and you lost. 3-2.
So a lot of that, I don't know, and it's human nature. I think part of it, I would think that wins against anybody who's good, playoff teams, I guess, if you will, take a lot out of you, and maybe I don't know, I guess maybe it's human nature, but that's sort of that weird thing of like there are no easy wins kind of thing. And I don't
No.
know. I mean, I don't know that mentality. I mean, I don't know how to, that's the human
Well,
nature aspect
it's
of.
like the line that I said to Jeff on the last episode, and that was, you know, the teams that you're supposed to beat or the teams that you're likely to lose against, you win, but the teams you're supposed to beat, you lose. And for
Yeah.
whatever reason, that happens a lot, especially in hockey. Like there are teams that you should just be beating,
I
you
think just the
know.
margins are so tiny that just easing up a bit, even if it's undetectable, makes all the difference. And plus you keep forgetting how even these really bad teams, these are all NHL players. They all want to win. And sometimes you think about how much you ramp up for, whatever, any number of games. Well, guess what they're doing when they're playing you? This is like the biggest thing in their life. And
It's a proving game.
it's a proving game, and it's hard to, I think just in general, it's hard to beat determination if it's, and it's not like there are any really terrible, I mean, are there any like truly terrible teams on in NHL right now? I
Let's
mean,
do it. Let's do it league-wise. Right now, last place is Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah, I haven't really watched them.
Buffalo is at 31, Nashville's at 30,
Oh, yeah,
San
Nashville.
Jose is at 29, Anaheim's at 28, Montreal's at 27,
Yeah, Montreal. Well,
Detroit's at 26, and Columbus and the Islanders are at 24 and 25, respectively.
not, if I recall, the Oilers like got stomped by the Canadians, didn't they? Earlier,
I
not too
think
long
so. I
ago.
don't remember,
Yeah, so
but
anyway, what I'm saying is that if you kind of stop playing the way you were playing and you aren't playing at the NHL level, you're going to lose. I kind of feel it. And it's I get it. But and I don't know how to, I mean, I guess that's part of being a championship team is that you have to know that that happens and you can't let it happen. I mean, I got to say, I'm really concerned about the two slow starts with Edmonton, and I don't know. We'll see. But it's interesting. It's
But
interesting how that
to
all works.
wrap up the month of December in the calendar year of 2024 for the Capitals take on the Los Angeles Kings.
I'm gonna be watching that game.
They take on the Kings at 5 o'clock Eastern time
This is at you'll be
at
there.
Capital One Arena. Yeah, I'll be at the
Okay.
game,
All right.
and that's
I'll
on Sunday, December 22nd.
I'll tune in on
And
that
then
game if I can
on
go.
the 23rd, they go up to Boston to play the Bruins. Then they go into the holiday break, and then on December 28th, which is next Saturday, they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs for Hockey Night in Canada, and that is the anticipated return of Alex Ovechkin. And then the next night in Detroit, the Capitals take on the Red Wings. That's also a 5 o'clock game on a Sunday. And then on New Year's Eve at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, that's 9:30 your time in the morning. The Capitals host the Boston Bruins, and of course, I'll be at that game as well. And then January 2nd, the Capitals host the Minnesota Wild and then host the New York Rangers for a 12 p.m. game on ABC against the New York Rangers on Saturday, October 4th. Then on October or Jan October, January 4th, I'm going back in time now. January 6th, they travel to Buffalo. And then January 8th and 10th, they're at home against Vancouver and Montreal, respectively. And then on the 11th, they're in Nashville, which is the second game the Capitals will be wearing their home helmets with their road jerseys. I just want to throw that out there. And then on January 14th, they host the Anaheim Ducks. Then they travel to Ottawa on the 16th, and then they are at home against Pittsburgh on January 18th, and we'll hold it there as that is like the next like month for the Washington Capitals. Because then the Capitals go on a 5-game road trip over the next 2 weeks, which allows me to take advantage of something. I'm going to Toronto at the end of January while the Capitals are on the road trip. Interestingly, no, the Capitals are not playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. Actually, I think when they play the Maple Leafs on the 20 on next Saturday, I think that's the last time they play Toronto for the season. But I could be wrong about that. Let me just do a quick little look. Yeah, so when the Caps play them on the 28th, that's actually the last time they play them for the season. But I'm flying up on January 29th. That night, I'm going to go see the Maple Leafs play the Minnesota Wild.
I see where this is going.
And then on January 30th, I'll be back at Scotiabank Arena to actually see Sum 41 in concert. And it's their final show. And then the 31st, I fly home. And hilariously, on February 1st, the Toronto Scepters are at home. And I made the mistake of flying home on the 31st instead of on the 2nd, which is okay by me because I probably couldn't afford it to stay out an extra 2 days in Toronto. But yeah, I'm also doing a visit to the Hockey Hall of Fame, which will be my third time going.
Wow.
And
Well, that'll be something.
Oh yeah, it will be, and it'll be It'll be a fun little trip. I'm hoping to see Jeff up there and maybe a few other
Oh.
Power Rangers who live up in that
Oh, I
area.
didn't. Is he Toronto based? I didn't realize
Yeah,
that.
Jeff's Toronto based.
Yeah, shoot.
That's why we were doing the whole Toronto Caps game thing on the last
Okay.
episode.
All right. Nice. 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 Nice.
So, but yeah. And
Wow. Amazing.
yeah,
Say hi for
definitely.
me. We didn't talk at the convention, did we? I didn't meet Jeff.
Yeah,
I
we
haven't
did.
met.
No. You and Jeff? I
Yeah.
don't think so, but I brought him up to you because we had been talking about like, oh, we should do a hockey panel at the next Power Morphicon in 2026, and then it came into this conversation like, oh, well, let's do a podcast.
Well,
You
this will
know.
be that'll be the great pitch for next year's for the
Yeah, for 2026's Power
yeah,
Morphicon. It's like, well,
let's
we
say
have, well, Jeff, Toru, and Mike,
oh
and these other Power Ranger actors, they do a
yeah.
podcast together talking hockey. Can we talk hockey at Power Morphicon?
Oh man.
But yeah, so that's the next pretty much month for the Caps. Obviously, we got two games against the Bruins, divisional matchups against the Penguins and the Rangers, and then, some hope. It'll be interesting to see Minnesota come to town. It'll be interesting to see Vancouver, see what they're up to at that point. Same. So, like, you got a couple games where, you got some questions like what type of teams could we be seeing when we face them in the next month, and what will the Capitals do? And especially the biggest hope is that Ovechkin returns and plays the way he was at the time of getting injured. Because if you remember, Ovechkin had a hat trick the night before
Oh,
in
okay, I do
Vegas, and
remember
then was on pace for having another hat trick that night against Utah because he had two goals up until the point of the injury.
that. Yeah, I anticipate some pretty cool stuff going on. I think he's one of these I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic. That's going to be a pretty exciting return. I'm anticipating that.
Oh
So.
yeah, I'm excited for it. I hope he comes back and soon, and he starts scoring goals. And right now he's at 868. He is 27
27.
goals away from passing Wayne Gretzky.
Amazing. Amazing.
He can do it. And then I think he's like,
Especially with the especially with a deep playoff run, right?
and then I think he's 32 goals away from reaching
Right.
900. So
And
like,
that's the one you're also kind of
well, the three I'm wanting him to do is pass Gretzky, get 900, and get 50.
on. Right,
50
right.
is a little iffy now because he's missed like 14
Yeah.
games, and then actually it'll be like 16. Hold on, let's see here. He's missed. Oh, don't do that. Stop it. Let's see here. He's missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15. So he'll have, if he returns next Saturday against Toronto, he'll have missed 16 games.
Okay.
So getting 50 or getting 250, getting those additional 35 goals. Yes, 35 goals will be a little tough
I
with
think,
the
yeah.
remainder of the schedule, but I have faith in Ovi.
Yeah.
But I definitely think Gretzky and 900 is doable still.
I think
Despite
it seems
missing
so.
16 games, but 50, I really want him to get that so he can take sole possession of first place in that. But that's a little iffy because of obviously the time missed due to the injury.
Right.
And it should be noted, this is the most amount of time Ovechkin has ever missed in his career.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow.
He like the most he's ever missed, I think, was like 6 games.
Oh, okay. So this is quite a bit longer.
Yeah. Like
Okay.
definitely a
Yeah,
bit
it's
longer.
funny because I never thought of him as someone who's ever out. So that was kind of it was sort of unusual. So that makes sense. That's
So with that, that's the Capitals.
cool.
Toru, my bad. I just was got so excited. I mispronounced your name. It's time for the Power Ranger Power Play.
Oh yeah.
Real quick, let's talk about your beer league. How are things going there?
Well, playoff game is Sunday.
Uh-oh,
So
tomorrow.
yeah, tomorrow night. And you and we all know, special teams assignments is critical, right? I mean, that's kind of how you win games, especially playoff games. So captain's made a, you know, important executive decision on where to place me. So my the special teams. So I am the one on drink duty that night. So that's my
You're on drink duty.
I'm on drink duty. I am the one that have been selected for drink duty that night. So I'm kind of really playing it out right now. I'm thinking, you know, maybe half white Gatorade and green, and then Modelo has kind of been my go-to. But we'll play around different combinations. So I'm kind of working on that right now. So, but yeah, it should be really exciting. I mean, it's weird because, well, you know what I think is interesting? I had a little moment. This is sort of a throwback to the whole, and I know you guys do not want to hear about my musical anymore, but they had a little moment where, you know, because there's one, this one note. I mean, that's a real challenge for me, man, doing this thing. But there's one note I had been working on. And I told you during, finally during the performance, I hit these, right? These, and the couple of entrances, you know, really complicated entrances with music, which is whatever, because if you miss those, you mess up everything, right? So
Right.
anyway, I hit those, and I hit them, and I got through that whole first half. And I hit all everything. It was great. I felt like $1 million. You know, I said, all right, great. This is a great show. And then the last verse, I forget, spaced out on one verse. I said sang half of it, but I spaced out in the la almost at the very, very end. It was fine. But I kept on thinking of that whole thing of you gotta play the whole all to the end of the first half, you know, that classic. And I kept on thinking of the you know, the Lake Placid, the miracle, you know, when the Russians just stop playing with like I 10 seconds left, and then they, you know, that they scored the I think it was a tying goal then, but I kept on thinking that great moment of like, yeah, you gotta play right to the buzzer, and which I
Yeah.
didn't do, so I thought that was kind of an interesting sort of, you know, playoff mentality. And anyway, kind of getting back to hockey is I kept on thinking, you know, I felt a little under the weather after, you know, after it took a lot out of me doing that show. And now I realize though that, you know, it's playoff hockey's a little different, right? You got to skate harder. I mean, I mean, you shouldn't be phoning it in anyway, but I thought, you know, it'll be that thing of like, you know what? You know, I might be a little slow, but I can't be slow. And I have to sort of say, okay, for the next 60 minutes, I'm going to be a hockey player. And it's an interesting thing how you have where you have to put your mind.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, and that's we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I think it'd be a lot of fun. So I'm looking. So what, you know, wish us luck. It's and then the championship would not be till next January. I think it's till after the break. But yeah, you know, just looking forward to like a hard 60 minutes and you know, and hard to win in hockey, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely hard to
Hard
win
to
in
win in
hockey.
hockey. I don't care what level you're at, you know. You get the e occasional easy win, but I don't know. I just consider I so rarely see it happen. You know, like teams never seem like totally mismatched. It's so weird. Or even if they are a little mismatched, the score doesn't necessarily reflect it. You know what I mean? So. It's interesting. So anyway, but that's what's going on with the, you know, the
Your league.
Bombers, you know, this is the you know, the so yeah, so wish us luck. And yeah, I think that's the key is I gotta sort of think, all right, well, it doesn't matter, you know, I've been kind of like under the weather this week, but it doesn't really matter. Well, you know, geez. Probably Lundgren, right? That's a good story, right?
Charlie Lindgren just like
Yeah,
said,
Charlie
here,
Lundgren, yeah.
hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. So I have I think I might take that story to heart. That I got no excuses. And I just gotta skate my heart out for every time I'm on the ice, you know. So anyway, but
Yeah.
it'll be fun. I'll let you know. I guess I probably won't see you.
Yeah,
Well, we'll
we'll
see.
chalk in January.
We'll talk, but I'll certainly text you and let you know how we do,
Oh,
you know.
yeah.
So it's a, yeah,
Yeah,
it's fun,
well.
but yeah, play up, nothing like it, right? Playoff hockey, nothing like it, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't know what it's like because I'm not in any leagues down here where I live. The only time I ever get to experience that is when I go up to Brantford, Ontario to play in the Walter Gretzky.
Yeah.
And I'll be finding out about that. I'll be getting dates for that actually probably around the end of January, probably when I'm actually in Toronto. I'll be getting the dates for that tournament.
Nice.
So I'll obviously keep you updated on that. But yeah, I'm actually going to use this moment to gripe about something.
Okay.
Dear Capital One Arena, first off, Ted Leonsis, owner of the Caps, congratulations on getting your funding for the transformation of Capital One Arena for the next 3 years.
Oh,
Can you do me a favor and all the other fans a favor? Can you get better reception for our freaking phones, please?
interesting.
So I, as you've seen me post, I post like the
Yeah.
walkout video, the Caps walking out
Yeah,
on the
yeah,
ice
yeah.
during pregame
Totally.
warmups. Well, I haven't been able to do it until I actually get on Metro to go home
Really?
because the reception in Capital One Arena is so bad. Like sending text messages is a challenge.
Even text messages. Wow.
Yes. So, Ted, babe, my dude, please, with this transformation, make it so I could use my damn phone and post social media. Do it. Do it. And for those of you who are just listening, I am shaking my phone at the camera
Yes.
because I want to post during the game, not
Right.
have my, hey, back at the office tweet or Facebook post or Instagram post, and then have it going out like randomly during like the second period or the third period. I want the walkout video to go out before the game freaking starts.
Exactly. Well, you know, I feel like I think he's gonna I think you've been heard. You've put it out there.
Is
And
in the universe.
yeah, the universe, you know, it operates in very mysterious ways, and I believe that you put it out there.
Oh, well, the funny thing is, I just got a season ticket holder survey recently, and I literally just went in about that. It's like, you gotta work on the like everything. I've been happy about everything. Fix this one stupid thing.
I'm trying to
Or
think.
it says the arena is powered by Verizon 5G. I have Verizon on my phone and I call BS on that.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of crypto. I'm trying to think if I have trouble having reception there. I mean, in other words, I'm wondering if it's like an arena thing.
I don't know, but the funny thing
Yeah.
is that I actually sit right in front of the press box
Right.
and I literally have the Washington Capitals scratches sitting behind me. I can literally, from where I sit, turn around like this and
Yeah.
go, oh, there's Sonny Milano and Dylan McIlrath and Alexander Alexiev and whoever else may be up there, depending on the thing. So I could literally just like turn around and go, oh, hey, there they are. But yeah, so
Well, hopefully, hopefully we can get that. That is a drag. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's like you're trying to
that's
communicate with people and you're trying to, in my case, be a content creator and
yeah.
post the content that I'm creating. It's really hard. It's
Yeah.
very aggravating from the content maker's perspective.
Yeah.
But with that, Toru, we are running out of time.
Yes, we
So
are.
with that, where can the people find you on social media, good sir?
Mine it's always at toromasamune.com, full name, and I'll keep you updated on happenings. Hopefully I'll probably start doing shows again. I think there are a couple of shows, conventions, I guess, if you guys are convention people. There are a few on the books. Right off the top of my head, I should have been better prepared. I know there's WonderCon in Anaheim coming up. There are a few coming up, so but usually the Instagram's a good place to figure out where I'm gonna be. And and now that my song and now that I'm a song and dance man, and I might. Yeah, well, plus we gotta start working on that Slapshot the musical.
Well,
I'm feeling it.
let me finish my docu-series, and then that's the next
Yeah,
project we
yeah.
work
You
on.
know, I think this is where it all starts, and so pretty soon that thing's gonna be on the road before we know it. So anyway, but that's the best. I'd say probably Instagram's the best. Yeah, at tormasmoney.com.
All right. And for the record, there is no .com in his
Or not
handle.
yet.
Yes.
Thanks for catching. At Toru Masamune. Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course for me, you can find me at the Lindenbaum 75 on all of social media. And then of course txhthockey.com. Check out the documentary So Close, the story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals. Currently right now, chapter 6 is out, and then soon chapter 7 will be out. And man, that means I'm at the halfway point of my docuseries.
Nice.
Wow,
Nice.
I can't believe it. But yeah, so
But really quickly, by the way, I know that was a I was misspoke, but I do have a website, toromasmoney.com, so
yeah. There you go. But check out that, and then also check out the sister podcast, which is Voices from the Grid, which is where myself, along with Ben Taylor, Brian Massey, and Sasha Kaplan, take a kid show way too seriously as we talk about the TV show Power Rangers. We are currently releasing our Turbo season, and we are
Nice.
currently recording our In Space season. That comes out every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern on txhthockey.com. It's also up on the X75 Productions YouTube page as a podcast, and I believe it's on Spotify, I think. I don't know. I don't deal with the RSS stuff on the sh for the show. I just do the website side and the actual episode editing. So with that has been today's episode. Toru, thank you so much for being back on. And as
Thanks for having
always,
me.
until next time, we will see you at the rink.